Let's just stay in that attitude of being open to God and His Spirit. I'm not going to preach now. I'm only going to share for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to continue to receive and to press into God just a little bit more. So, Lord, just continue to speak and work in us, I pray. Lord, thank you for what you're doing, Lord. It's just wonderful to know your presence with us and to hear your voice and to receive the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Lord. So, yeah, I don't quite know how, but just in a couple of minutes, I just want to share the heart of what I was going to preach about. I was going to preach, I had video clips, all kinds of things. But it's already been talked about this morning. Apparently, it was talked about at Scent last week, although I had no idea of that. And it's about Jesus being the lion, being the lion of the tribe of Judah, and what that means for us. Wherever you are, whatever age you are, whatever life circumstances you're facing, you need to know that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. What does it mean? What do we think of when we think of a lion? We think of an animal at the very top of the food chain. We think of the king of beasts, who fears no one, who is enormously strong and wild and powerful and untamable and majestic and dangerous. This is Jesus. And wherever you are in your life and whatever challenges you're facing, we've just had a wonderful week of prayer and we've been praying into battles that we're facing, challenges that we're facing, both individual, whether that's sickness, whether that's financial pressures, other pressures, whether it's an individual thing or a corporate thing, we've been praying with a sense of faith and stirring that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That we are in a battle, but in any battle, if you put anyone up against a lion, who would you expect to win? The lion will win, always. You would be confident in any situation of the lion triumphing, and you would be petrified if you had to cross him and face him. This is Jesus. Whatever situation you are in, whatever pressure you are battling, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I was going to look from John 11 at the story of Lazarus. I'm sure many of you are very familiar with it. But there were just three things that I wanted to bring up from this. Lazarus is Jesus' dear, dear friend, as are his sisters Mary and Martha. He is sick to the point of death, and Mary and Martha send a message to Jesus, and they say, Jesus, would you come quickly? Jesus does nothing for 2 days, or it seems that he does nothing for 2 days. Have you ever seen footage of lions? They can seem to be the most languid, laid back, confident, just lolling around animals at times. And it seems, Jesus, why are you doing nothing? Here's your friend who needs you. His sisters are confident that you can make a difference if you come. And Jesus does nothing for 2 days. Well, he doesn't do nothing. What he does is he prays. He seeks the Father because he has learned not to react from his gut or with human thinking, but to listen to his Father. And he knows that his Father always has the perfect plan for any situation. And it isn't always the plan that we have. You know, whatever challenge you're facing, the Father has a perfect plan to bring you through that and to reveal his goodness and his glory in your life, both in this life and gloriously in a way that we don't fully understand in eternity. God always has a plan, but it's not always our plan. And Jesus has learned to wait on his Father and to listen. And so Jesus, for 2 days, is a lion perfectly at rest, seemingly not doing anything, but he is poised and he is listening to the Father. We must never make the mistake of thinking that if we're praying or asking God for something and there doesn't seem to be any immediate response, we must not make the mistake of thinking that God either is indifferent or he has no plan or he has no idea or he has no means of delivering us. That could not be further from the truth. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is at rest. Are you in a place at the moment where you need to know that? You need to know this powerful, all-conquering, untamable, dangerous Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not running around. Sometimes we just run around, don't we? We think, I've got to find the solution, got to find the solution. You never see a lion fretting. Okay, the lion is resting. You might need to know this morning that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is resting alongside you. And just to feel that powerful presence. You might not know what that plan is at the moment, but it's there. And then, as the story unfolds, Jesus then goes after 2 days to Mary and Martha, and by this time Lazarus has died. But Jesus knows God has a perfect plan to reveal his goodness and glory. And we see the second aspect of the lion, and that's the lion prowling. Okay, Jesus is not indifferent to this situation. Okay, Jesus is not cold to the challenges and the battles that we face. There is a time when Jesus stands up and he starts to prowl. Lions aren't afraid. They don't care what you think about them. And they're not afraid to... They just show what they're feeling. And in the story, we see Jesus starts to show what he's feeling. He is deeply moved by this situation. And there's one point where, as he meets Mary and Martha, it says literally Jesus burst into tears as he looks with compassion on them. But then it also says twice, it says once he burst into tears, twice that he is deeply moved. The root of that phrase is he is outraged. There is anger stirring inside the heart of the lion as he begins to prowl. As he looks at the work of the enemy and the destruction that sickness and death and every other work of the enemy that we know brings into people's lives, Jesus isn't just moved with compassion, but he is, and some of you need to know that, that his heart is stirred with compassion. He is not cold and indifferent to the things that you're feeling. He feels the same. When you cry, Jesus has that burst of compassion within him, but there is a controlled rage and anger that stirs in the heart of the lion when he sees the works of darkness. The lion is at rest. Some of you need to know that. He's resting with you. Some of you need to know that the lion is starting to prowl in your situation. He's starting to growl. Okay, he knows how you're feeling. And there is anger stirring. There is outrage stirring in the heart of Jesus over the work of the enemy. And then last of all, we see, and I'll just read this little bit. Jesus once more deeply moved. There's that stirring with outrage and anger. He comes to the tomb of Lazarus. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And this week, I really felt God put this in my heart. And when the lion roars, it is an expression and an exerting of his authority. When Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, roars, it is an expression and an exertion of his power and authority. And as he speaks in a loud voice, why did Jesus speak in a loud voice? Not because Lazarus was deaf, he was dead. He spoke in a loud voice because it was an expression of the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Notice Jesus calls Lazarus by name. Some people have suggested that's because this roar was so powerful that if he hadn't stated who he was calling forth, every single tomb in that vicinity would have had to have given up its dead, resurrected back to life again. There is power in the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus. Everything changes when the lion shows up and when the lion roars. God's glorious plan is always unleashed by the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I felt God put on my heart this week to say over us as a church, the lion is still roaring. The lion is still roaring. Jesus still sees and still feels and still responds to us and the darkness that we face in our lives, and he roars. And when the lion roars over people's lives, those that are far from him, those who are spiritually dead in their sins, are called back to life. Lazarus had no option. When Jesus called him forth, when the lion roared, he had no option. There was no debate. Breath and life and spirit was forcibly drawn back into his body by the power of the roar of the lion, and he had to come forth. He had no option. When Jesus roars, those who are dead, those who are spiritually dead, they have to come to life. They have to be renewed. Sick and hurting bodies, when the lion of the tribe of Judah roars, have to respond and be healed and to be renewed. Crushed spirits and broken hearts, when the lion roars over them, have to be pieced back together and made whole again. When the lion roars, there is no other option. Nothing and no one stands against the roar of the Lion of Judah. Satan and demonic forces have to turn tail and run. Diseases and infections and viruses have to go. Damaged bodies have to mend. Strongholds of lies and deception and abuse and oppression in our lives have to crumble and make way for God's freedom and truth to enter. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is still roaring today.
Bring it on.
Do you believe? That's what Jesus said to Martha. Do you believe? And he said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Do you believe? I believe God wants to put fresh faith in us. I believe that's what he's been doing through this week. I believe that's what he's been doing this morning. That you need to know the lion lies down beside you. That even if you see no sign of activity, you've been praying your socks off, you think nothing seems to be changing, that is not because God is indifferent or he has no plan or he has no means of delivering it. The lion is lying down beside you and inviting you to enter into his rest. And then at the right time, he begins to prowl. You need to know that he feels your heart, that he is moved with compassion, that he starts to growl, that there is anger and outrage that burns in his heart. And actually, there is anger and outrage that he wants to put into our hearts as we look at the works of the enemy and the works of darkness too. And the lion is roaring. And when he roars, there is nothing that can stand against him. There is no argument. There are no options other than what Jesus says happens. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. And one final thing, and I had no idea that Angela Kem had said this, and I actually had what I imagine is almost exactly the same video clip that someone referred to about the Lion King to show this morning. There's a scene in there where Simba, the young lion cub, is chased down by enemies and cornered, and he turns and he roars. But it's a little cat kind of roar, okay? And then the enemies, these hyenas, they laugh at him. I say, is that it? Is that all you've got? Go on, do it again. They say, do it again. They taunt him. And he opens his mouth. and there is an almighty roar that echoes forth. And it's his father, Mufasa, who has found him and who steps in. And the enemies, when they hear the roar of the Lion King, they scatter. They don't know what to do. They're petrified. And I just felt, and I guess this is similar to what Angela was saying, that for us, God wants us to know that when we roar, he roars. When we roar, he roars. You might think when you pray, when you witness, when you take steps of faith, you might think, that is so pathetic. I think this sometimes. Golly, Simon, that was so weak. That was so weak. But God wants you to know when you roar, he roars. And he has put his spirit in us. Okay, if we are his children, he has put his spirit, the spirit of Jesus, the spirit of the lion of the tribe of Judah in us. And he wants you to roar. He wants you to roar. You might think it's a little Simba lion cub roar, but actually you need to hear, in the sense of the spirit, the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah as you roar. So be in faith. Be in faith. The lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring.